Right, start again. Welcome to the Planning Committee meeting. This meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the Council's public website in due course. Please ensure you switch on your microphone to speak and turn it off again afterwards. I'd like to introduce the staff and councillors who will be involved in the committee meeting tonight. And you've already been introduced to Esme Spinks, our Planning Development Manager, and Kelly Walker, Senior Planning Officer. To my right, as I said earlier, is Kamil Dolebski, our solicitor, who will provide professional advice and guidance to the committee on legal matters. And to my far right is Carolyn Forster, our planning litigation solicitor, who will assist Mr. Dolebski. Around the table are the members of the planning committee in the inner horseshoe who will be able to take part in the debate on the application and to vote, unless otherwise noted by way of disclosure of interest. So would each councillor please introduce themselves, giving your name and ward, starting with Councillor Noble. That's introductions.
Councillor Bob Noble, Ashford Common Ward.
Nadia Islam, Ashford Town.
Jim Michael Roy, Stanmore North.
Robin Sider, Shepparton Town.
Jenny Vincent, Stane South.
Nick Gething, Ashford Town.
Lawrence Nichols, Halifax, Sunbury West.
Sandra Dunn, Halifax, Sunbury West.
Bernice Bourne, Sunbury Common.
Sutton de Butter, Ashford North and Stanwell South.
I'm Bra, Ashford North, Stanwell South.
And I'm Richard Smith Ainsley from Laleham and Shepparton Green. So where public speaking is allowed, this is limited to 3 minutes for the objector and 3 minutes from the applicant. And I invite you to speak when it's your turn, and you'll be reminded when you have 30 seconds left. In the interest of equality, you'll not be allowed to extend beyond this period. So turning to the main agenda tonight, do I have any apologies for absence, Jill?
Mr. Chairman, we have apologies from Councillors Gibson and Seaver.
Thank you. Do I have any other apologies? No. Okay, item 2 minutes. Is it the wish of the committee I sign as a true record the minutes of the meeting held on the 8th of January?
Agreed.
Thank you. Item 3, disclosures of interest. Can members of the committee please indicate any disclosures of interest they have on the items on the agenda? And the second item, item 5, I'll just declare for all councillors at this stage that that is a Speltham Council application on a Speltham Council building. And for the benefit of members of the public, all planning applications for Speltham Council buildings and also by staff members or councillors have to come before the planning committee. But so it's the other item, if any members have disclosures of interest on that, could they indicate? Councillor Noble?
Nothing to disclose.
Okay. Councillor Islam?
Nothing to disclose.
Councillor McElroy?
Nothing to disclose.
Councillor Sider?
Nothing for me, Chairman.
Councillor Vincent?
Nothing for me.
Councillor Gething?
Mr. Chairman, I've had a number of conversations with residents in the ward. However, I approach the matter with an open mind.
Thank you. Councillor Nichols?
And nothing to report.
Councillor Dunn?
Nothing to disclose.
Councillor Spohr?
Nothing to report, though I have inspected the site.
Thank you. Councillor Patel?
Nothing to disclose.
Councillor Brown?
Nothing to disclose.
And I've got no declarations to make either. So moving on to item 4, first application for us tonight. Application number 19/01297/FUL, headline House, Stanwell Road, Ashford. This proposal involves the demolition of the existing commercial building and the erection of a four-storey building to provide 14 flats consisting of 7 one-bed and 7 two-bed with associated parking and amenity space So, Kelly, can you run through the plans for us, please?
Right, thank you, Chairman. So, this is the application at Headline House, and as the Chairman's just noted, it's for the erection of an L-shaped building over four floors, which will provide 14 residential units following the demolition of the existing building on the site. So the site is outlined in red, as you can see here, and the existing commercial building on the site takes up the majority of the site. You can see the square outlined in black there, and the northern elevation and the eastern elevation of that building abut the boundaries of the site with the adjoining properties. So directly to the north of the site, there is an access road between the application site and number 104 Stanmore Road to the north here, which is Dash property. And that access road goes down to a block of three garages at the rear of the site. Adjacent to the site to the rear, along Chaucer Road, is number 2 Chaucer Road, and that's located in this position here. And again, the building is located on the common boundary of that property. Directly to the south, opposite on the other side of Chaucer Road, is number 106 Chaucer Road, which is a two-storey extended residential property. And then opposite on the other side of Stanmore Road is the listed building at St Hilda's Church. So the area is very much a residential area with the odd occasional commercial use. Most of it is two-storey in height. However, there are a number of larger buildings, including along here, there's number 123 Stanmore Road and Sovereign House, which are two blocks of three-storey residential flats adjacent to two-storey residential properties. You can see from the aerial photograph that the building takes up the majority of the site, and here is number 2 Chaucer Road, and then this is number 104 Stanmore Road. So it's important to note that previously at the site in September 2017, there was a previous planning application for a building over three floors, which was described as a two-storey building, and that provided 10 units of accommodation following the demolition of the existing building, and that had a density of 106 dwellings per hectare. So that's referred to in my report, and we show some of the previous plans that were approved, because that is material planning consideration. So I'm just going to go through some photographs and plans now. This shows the building on the site from Stanmore Road. So this is the front of the building. It's currently got some hoarding around it. This is the tree in question that will be retained, and the condition requires that the building works are carried out in accordance with the arboricultural method statement to make sure the tree is not damaged during construction. You can see to the left of the picture there's an access road along the side of the building, and then to the left of that is number 104 Stanmore Road. In the distance here, this is Chaucer Road, and the building on the corner, which is built up to the boundary, and that is number 106 Stanmore Road. This just shows in a bit more detail. The application site is on the right-hand side here. This is the side boundary wall that's right up to the boundary, and then this is number 104 Stanmore Road, and the access road going down the side. This photograph is taken from the garage site. So this is the back of number 104 Stanmore Road. The application site, the side elevation of the building, located here on the left, and you can see looking out towards St Hilda's Church with its red brick. This is taken from the other side of Stanmore Road with the church hall behind me, looking towards the corner of the site. So this is Stanmore Road frontage, and then you can see looking down towards Chaucer Road. And indeed, this is number 2 Chaucer Road in the distance here, and number 106 Stanmore Road here. This again just shows a bit closer the side of the property facing Chaucer Road, and this is number 2 Chaucer Road, and the traditional gable features and pitch roofs of the properties and Chaucer Road. This is the side of number 2 Chaucer Road, which is adjacent to the application site. And you can just make out here, this is the boundary with the application site and the rear wall of the property at Headline House. This is just looking from the corner of Stanmore Road where number 106 is. You can see the listed church on the left-hand side of the picture, and then on the right-hand side is the application site, and number 104 in the distance there. This is looking in a southerly direction, again from the application site. This is number 106 on the corner of Chaucer Road. And again, you've got very traditional buildings with gable features and hip roofs, traditional materials including bricks. And in the distance here, you can see the larger properties that I was talking about, a three-storey, 123 Stanmore Road and Sovereign House. And this is those two properties. This is number 123 Sovereign House, which is a three-storey block of flats, and Sovereign House. And both of those are adjacent to two-storey dwellings. So this is just the plans of the current building on the site. This top picture here shows the front elevation on Stanmore Road. And then this is the rear elevation, which directly adjoins the boundary at number 2 Chaucer Road. This is the side elevation fronting Chaucer Road at the moment. And again, the side elevation, which adjoins the access road to the north of the site. The bottom left-hand diagram shows the ground floor plan of the existing building. And then it also has a small mezzanine area. So this shows the street scene elevation at present. So we've got the existing building on Stanmore Road frontage here, the access road between number 104 Stanmore Road and this location here. Then we've got Chaucer Road, and this is number 104 Stanmore Road. Sorry, 106 Stanmore Road. And then this elevation is taken from the Chaucer Road direction. So this is the side facing Chaucer Road. Then there's the gap, and then number 2 Chaucer Road. And then on the left-hand side, we've got Stanmore Road and then St Hilda's Church. So just to go through the plans of the current proposal, it shows, this is the floor plan of the site layout. And you can see that the building is an L shape that goes around the corner of the site as it was previously. The main difference with this scheme and the previous scheme is that it includes a sub-basement with a provision of one flat and 8 car parking spaces. This has had the effect of increasing the height of the building by 1.2 metres to the eaves and 1.2 metres in total height to the ridge of the main part of the building fronting Stanmore Road. In addition, there is a slight increase in footprint. You can make out a red line on the plan here. This plan is also in the appendices, which is slightly easier to see. And you can see that there's a dotted red line in this position here, which shows the existing approved plan. So you can see there's a slight increase of about 2 metres in this position here. There's also an increase of about 2 metres in this position here. And then there's a 5 metre deep element here, which is also 5 metres across in this position here, which is different to the previous scheme, as well as this increase in height. So this layout shows that there's landscaping around the front and side of the built form. There's also a communal meeting space to the back of the property here. You can access the site from Chaucer Road, as with the current scheme, current approved scheme, and there's a provision of 10 car parking spaces at ground floor level here, including 2 disabled car parking spaces. You then can access the ramp, which takes you down to the sub-basement, to a further 8 car parking spaces, which I'll show you that plan in just a moment. So the bottom left-hand diagram shows the sub-basement, which is partly below ground level. So we have the basement flat in this position here. So as I say, it's only partly below ground level, so the windows actually are above ground level. And this has its own sunken terrace area around this corner here. And then this is the access from the car park area at ground level down to this basement car parking, which provides an additional 8 car parking spaces. So this left-hand diagram shows the ground floor plan of the building. And as you can see, that's the access ramp going down beneath. There's also the provision of refuse storage facilities here, and there's 4 flats on this level. Each of those has its own balcony area. This is the first floor. And this provides 5 additional flats. Each of those, except for this rear flat, again, have a balcony area. We requested that the balcony to this particular flat, which was located at the rear, was removed from the scheme due to the proximity to the property at the rear, and that has been done. So this is the only property that doesn't have its own private balcony area. Then the top floor with roof space, there is another four flats here, and they are served by roof lights within the roof as per the current approval. So just to show the elevations, again on the elevations there is a red dotted line which you can see along this position here, which shows the height of the previous approved plan. So as you can see, this increase in height of the overall ridge height of the building is 1.2 metres compared to the previously approved scheme. So this diagram actually shows the view from number 2 Chaucer Road, so it's the back of the Stanmore Road element. And you can see that the majority of the building on Stanmore Road has been increased in height with the basement beneath it. But the left-hand part of that building is actually still at ground floor level. It's not raised. So this part of the building here, this is the ground level with the first floor above. And this part of the building is very similar in height to the previously approved scheme. It's more evident on the side elevation, which I'll show you in a moment. But this part of the building has the sunken basement below with the ground floor in this level, the first floor in lift level, and then the accommodation at second floor within the roof. But as you can see, the ridge height has increased by 1.2 metres. This diagram also shows the 45 degree line when taken from number 104 Stanwell Road. So this is the access road between the two properties, and this is the rear of 104 Stanwell Road. And you can see this 45 degree line, which is one of our policy requirements. And that shows it provides an acceptable impact in terms of loss of light and overshadowing to that property. This elevation at the top here on the right-hand side shows a view from 104 Stanmore Road, so it's a northern elevation. These side-facing windows will be obscurely glazed in this position here. And then there's also a terrace and balcony to both of the ground and first floor properties, and these will have screening to the side of the property to ensure they don't create any overlooking issues to 104. This elevation here is a Chaucer Road elevation. So this is the main bulb of the building at the front here, the Stanmore Road in this position here. So this part of the building is the side on Chaucer Road, and that is raised above ground level. This part of the building, which is on Chaucer Road and also to the back of the property, is not raised and doesn't have any of the sub-basement beneath it. And that is at the original two-storey height of the previously approved scheme. You can just make out the red line in this position here, so the height is very similar, but as noted, it does extend further to the rear by approximately 2 metres. This shows separation to number 2 Chaucer Road at the rear, and as noted in the report, it does meet the council separation distances, the minimum separation distances, and therefore is considered to have an acceptable impact on the amenity of that property. The bottom diagram shows the elevation from Stanmore Road. Again, this main part is taller than the previously approved scheme. However, the design features are very similar to that previously approved, with three gable features. The materials have been changed to provide more in keeping with the neighbouring properties. There's a red brick, which displays that of St. Hilda's Church opposite. And then the yellow is a buff brick, which again is shown in some of the neighbouring properties, the more traditional two-storey residential properties. And the proposal is also considered to have an acceptable impact on the amenity of neighbouring properties, as well as an acceptable impact on the setting of the listed building opposite the site. So this just shows in a bit more detail the sections. So the left-hand one is particularly useful in that it shows that this part of the building here is two-storey level and is does not have a basement beneath it. But you can see this part of the building here, this is where Stanmore Road is in that position there, and this is the elevation from 104 Stanmore Road. So you can see here that the cars would come in, go down to the basement beneath here, so that the ground floor level is raised, and then the first floor level is slightly raised, and then the second floor level is provided within the roof space of the main build form, with the two-storey bit still remaining at the back of the property as it was previously in terms of its height. So again, this shows the rear elevation from number 2 Chaucer Road You can see the access into the car parking in this provision here, going down beneath the building. So you can see that this part of the building is raised above ground level, with the ground floor, the first floor, and the second floor being the roof space. But this part of the building is very much two-storey still, without being raised above ground level. So that's the same height as the previously approved scheme. This just shows the roof plan with, there is a flat roof section, but it does slope in from each of the sides and the provision of the roof lights. So these diagrams just show a comparison of the approved scheme compared to the current scheme. So the top diagram shows the current proposal. This view is taken from Chaucer Road, looking out towards St. Hilda's Church. So the property on the right-hand side is number 2 Chaucer Road, and we're looking out across the back of the property. So the top scheme shows the current proposal, and the bottom scheme shows what has previously been approved. So you can see the design of the scheme is very much in keeping with the previous scheme, which is in keeping with the character of the area, particularly in terms of the gable features, the hip roofs and the materials. And I'll show you the other diagrams in different directions. So this is the Stanwell Road frontage. So looking from the opposite side of Stanwell Road towards the application site. And you can see that the design is very much in keeping with the previous scheme, which is shown at the bottom of the plan. So you've got the 3 gable features, and again, they're mirrored here. However, these are 1.2 metres in total height taller than the scheme that was previously approved. And then on the right-hand side is the same frontage, but shown from number 104 Stanwell Road is located to the left of the picture, and the access road between. And then you can see very much that the current proposal is very much in keeping with the design of the previous scheme. So the proposal is considered to have an acceptable impact in terms of impact on the meeting neighbouring properties, acceptable impact on the setting of the listed building. It's also considered to provide an acceptable amount of amenity space and car parking provision, and provide a good standard of accommodation for future occupants. The application site is in a sustainable location. It's also on an unused brownfield site, so it's considered that there's no demonstrable or significant harm that can be caused that can outweigh the benefits of providing 14 residential units at the site. Therefore, the application is recommended for approval. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that, Kelly. And now we've got 2 public speakers. Could Les Darby come forward to speak against the application? And you're reminded you're only able to speak for 3 minutes, and I'll prompt you when there's 30 seconds left to run. You press the right hand button of the 2 there to put the microphone on.
I think that it is going to be an overdevelopment. I put that again to the council. We've been here 4 times before. Mr. Daly adds to the number of flats every time. He's going to make a profit. We aren't. It's detrimental because it overlooks so many of the gardens in Chaucer Road. I have a book here that has my house in it. It dates from 1898, and I am concerned about what Spelthorne Council are doing to the locality, because they're changing it beyond recognition. So not only are we getting overdevelopment, we're getting a huge building. We're going to get loss of privacy from that building. The area is going to be parked to the nines, whatever the subterranean build says, the basement said. We have had flooding in Chaucer Road. I've got details of the flooding that took place. If it goes subterraneanly, it could cause more flooding. Richmond upon Thames have stopped all basement developments. They're also very careful about what happens to the balconies, and I don't think Spelthorne Council protects us as residents. The developer also served a notice, a demolition notice on me. He also did that to the other property. He didn't go ahead with the development. Why not? Why didn't he go ahead? Also, he's disputing whether it's a party wall. I spoke to Amyards today and they weren't sure. So he should follow the proper legal processes and make sure and follow the party wall legislation, which means he won't be able to start knocking things down unless he's got the party wall agreement in place, because that's what the party wall legislation says. So if he does lay a finger on the build and starts knocking things down without that, he'd be doing it illegally.
Okay, have you finished?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that. Mrs. Walker, are there any points you'd like to clarify as a result of the comments made?
Only that the Environment Agency and Surrey County Council, as the local lead flood authority, were consulted on the application and both raised an objection to the scheme.
But the party wall, that's not a planning issue. So.
It's not a planning issue, it's a civil issue.
Thank you. And now would Ian Phillips come forward to speak for the application, and you're reminded so that you're able to speak for a total of 3 minutes, and I'll prompt you when there's 30 seconds left.
Is this on the grid? Yes, it is. Good evening, Chair, councillors. My name is Ian Phillips. I'm a chartered town planning consultant with some 40 years' experience. There are quite a few issues being raised by local residents, but your officer has rightly drawn attention to the existing permission for 10 flats, and that provides a sound benchmark against which to determine this application. When you consider all of the usual development management requirements, you will find that although there are small changes to the design, none of them have any material or significant adverse impacts. The shape and footprint of the building, its scale in relationship to adjoining properties, the impact on neighbours' amenity, unit sizes, amenity space, car parking, all comply with your adopted standards and policies, or fall within accepted tolerances, so did not give rise to concern. The scheme is the result of innovative architecture and good design. The inclusion of a semi-basement has enabled the provision of an additional 4 flats, thereby optimising development potential and making a better contribution to housing needs, which is paramount in this borough. That's exactly what the NPPF seeks to achieve. Yes, the building is a little bit higher than the approved scheme, but the existing 2- and 3-storey properties along this section of Stanwell Road already exhibit a range of differing building heights, and so this proposal would be unexceptional. This is also the second largest site along this section of the road, and it's located on a street corner, so it's perfectly capable of accommodating a building of this size. The planning officer has mentioned the density of development already approved, and it is higher because the provision of small units of accommodation skews the outturn of the density calculation. I should point out, however, that density policy in the local plan is founded upon guidance published 19 years before the current NPPF. The bottom line, however, is summed up in a report which concluded that the density of an acceptable development is a product of all the relevant design considerations. If all those considerations are fulfilled, the resultant figure is what it is.
30 seconds.
Comparing the approved scheme with that now proposed, there are no aspects of it that point to an overdevelopment of the site. In fact, the proposals do not reach the threshold of significant demonstrable harm. Your officers have concluded and explained tonight that all of the relevant design considerations are fulfilled. And so I commend the recommendation to you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you for that. Mrs. Walker, are there any points you want would like to clarify as a result of your comments? Okay, thank you. Right, then, item is now with the committee. Councillor Noble.
I move as number 8, Chair.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
No, I'm happy to
have a seconder. Thank you. Councillor Noble.
Generally, I think it's a good plan. It's acceptable and it's quite attractive the way it's been designed. There's been effort put into it. And I don't think it detracts from the surrounding houses or the church opposite. I was slightly saddened that given the original building was 1980s, and pardon me, but Big Ted, Little Ted, Humpty and Jemima are going to miss those round arch and square windows to look through on the old building, but we can't have everything. I think it's a good plan that it's in an urban setting, it's on one of our brownfield sites, which, as we know, are under massive pressure from our community not to build in the green belt. So this provides a good opportunity to actually put dwellings in a place less contentious. Given the situation with demands on us as a council from national government, our lack of space because of green belt, and also under-delivering on dwellings in the last few years, I think the increase in size is necessary and useful on this site. I think it's a good use of the space. Parking, it's slightly under what we'd really like, but given its location to local buses and to actual train station, I think that's acceptable given it's a lot of single units. And I was pleased to see in the conditions number 13 on page 34 that we're requiring 4 electric points within the parking spaces for future electric vehicles. It's been mentioned a couple of times, but it is slightly higher, but I think it's acceptable given the other properties that are in the area. And I think the good use of gables and balconies break up any kind of form of heavy blocking, which can't be said for Port St Builders opposite, which is quite a hefty brick-filled square building. So I don't think it's incongruous on that basis. I think the provision of amenity space is pretty good for the number of flats that are there. There's open ground, plus they all mostly have balconies. And the other thing I was pleased to see is that there is provision in terms of heating and supporting the property on a green basis, that there is an air source heat pump which will provide 10% of requirement. So on that basis, at this point, subject to discussions that are going to come forth, I think it's a good scheme.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillor Islam.
Okay, just a clarification, please. On page 29, refuge and store collection, it says close to Fairness Road. Are you suggesting that they don't have a on-site refuge collection?
7.56. No, just the refuse is provided on the ground floor within the building, close to the road on Chaucer Road, which where it would be collected from.
Well, it says Clarence Road in here.
Oh, sorry, that's my mistake. That should be Chaucer Road.
Chaucer Road. Yeah. Can you turn me to page 16 now, please? Okay. I see the public... public consultation. 58 neighbouring properties were notified out of 55 objections. So when you're recommending for approval, do you not take the consideration of their objection? Does more than 95% of the people are against this development?
Yes, part of the assessment of the application, objections from the third parties are one of the material considerations, along with all the other issues that Kelly Walker's addressed in the NPPF, the local plan policies, and all the other issues. So yes, it is an important consideration. And it's got to be considered and balanced with all the other issues as well.
I understand, but then again, why is the use of consulting the public before you're not taking their, you know, objection into consideration?
We look at each of the objections, and obviously the planning ones that are raised we assess and look at in our report. So for instance, in this scheme, we did get them to remove a balcony from the first floor rear unit because of the proximity to the neighbouring property and the objections in terms of loss of amenity. So that was removed as a result of consultation. So we look at what the consultations say, which is more pertinent than the amount of consultations we have. Because obviously we have to set it against our policies.
Okay. Looking at the report, I don't see on the report saying anywhere there's visitors, provision for visitor parking. So where will the visitors be parking if they have any?
The parking is for 18 spaces.
That's for everybody.
Yep. It doesn't specify whether they're for visitors or for the individual properties.
That
would be up to the management company. So.
That's fine, I'll come back.
Councillor McGavin.
Thank you, Chairman. There are a number of objections raised by the residents, a number of which reflect similar objections that were made back in 2017 when the last application was made. Certainly, the impression we got from officers back in 2017 was that 10 units within the site was as much as the site could comfortably manage, in view of the impact that this site would have, particularly on other residents in Chaucer Road, which is a road that suffers from a number of problems in terms of parking, with the residents struggling to find spaces to park outside their own properties, and that it is inevitable that in reality the likely number of cars per dwelling is going to be more like 2 before we start taking visitors into account. So we're looking at something in the region of 28 cars, with 10 cars trying to find somewhere to park in the area, and the knock-on impact that that will have on the local roads and local residents. This has led to calls from the local residents for parking permits along that road. And we believe that 70% of the people on Chaucer Road do wish to have 77% on Chaucer Road do wish to have parking permits. So I can see particular problems in this area arising from the pressure from additional cars that are going to be forced upon the local residents. I noticed that there's been a lot of conversation with in the last few days about electric cars, and that in 15 years' time, diesel and petrol car production is to be stopped, that those diesel and petrol cars are to be sold in this country, and as a consequence, people are going to want somewhere to charge their cars if they're going to have electric cars. People can't park outside their houses already, so the ability for people to charge their cars is going to be severely constrained. The other objections regarding the size of the development seem to have been swept aside on the basis that the number of units we've got to have in the borough is paramount. I'm somewhat struck by the comments that the town planner made to the committee a few moments ago. In other words, any other material planning consideration is to be completely disregarded to the target of ever more units being put in the borough. The nature of the borough will change irretrievably, and we need to be taking this on. We need to be seriously considering this. We are all aware that the leader has made representations to central government with regard to the numbers of additional housing that we're expected now to find, and requesting that that number be reduced based on more recent census information. And on that basis, I'm not at present minded to support this application.
practices, please?
Just before Kelly Walcott's to comment on a few detailed matters raised, but generally, in relation to the first point raised by Councillor Griffin for you, Chairman, within the application, you probably would have heard us say that we have to consider each application on its merits. We're required to make sure each application is determined in accordance with the development plan, the local plan we have, and unless there's any other material considerations which indicate otherwise, which could be the MPP and can be other matters. There wouldn't ever be a position where we would say to the committee that this application is the maximum we would have, we are not going to accept any more applications if there's more on the site, because we have to consider each application as merits and we can't predetermine an application that we haven't seen. So yes, 10 flats have been approved, now the 14 flats before us, so we have to consider this on the plans that are before us, but obviously taking into account, as Kelly Walker pointed out, the previous permission for 10, which is the a very strong material consideration. So I just really wanted to flag that point out at the beginning. In terms of the parking issue, yes, obviously it's been raised by a couple of members here. Just to clarify through you, Chairman, through the question raised by Councillor Islam, so I'll sort of wrap it up to get here. Our current parking standards don't have separate standards for visitor parking. It's one number that's used for one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom flats. They're not, we don't have to have a separate provision for visitor parking for residential schemes. In terms of EV charging points, electrical vehicle charging points, it's in the standard in our own local guidance. So we use the up-to-date adopted standards by Surrey County Council for EV charging, which has been out for consultation, and the latest adoption is 2018, so it's pretty up-to-date. And that requires, in terms of flats, 20% of parking to be EV charging. In this particular case, we've got 18 parking spaces and 4 proposed to be EV charged by the condition, so that's why obviously just rounded up, it's slightly over 20%. That's the sort of justification for providing that number with this application, indeed other applications that we've already approved in the bar. I think that's the only issues in there. The questions raised in relation to housing that a number of councillors have raised relates to the issue that we've raised that most applications are going to the development scheme. That's the paragraph 11 of the MPP, what we refer to as the tilt balance, because we don't have a 5-year house on our supply, we have to apply the tilt balance. Favour of development, so that doesn't mean we're going to approve everything, but it sort of tilts it in favour of approving schemes. Obviously, not sites in the green belt, but certainly sites in the urban area. I can go through in great detail if members want to put a bit more information on the 5-year housing land supply. Thank you, Chair.
That's slightly outside the local plan area, isn't it? That's a government figure that they've given us for housing needs. No, I mean, what I'm saying is that we've got local plan first at the moment, and it's got a minimal weight that gets applied to the local plan. But this then goes through saying that the government came up with a figure which was then revised in 2019 of the 590 being changed to 603. And that's the thing, unfortunately, which we've got before us, and we can't demonstrate a 5-year housing land supply for that number of properties.
Yes, Chairman, it's the 5-year housing land supply is moving forward from 2019 to 2024. In a few months' time, we expect that to be moved forward a year from 2020 to 2025, but the current year we're working 2019 to 2024, and you're absolutely right, the figures are set by the government in terms of the baseline. I think I got it in one of the training sessions, but I can certainly go through it if you want me to. It's the baseline set by the government, and it's averaged for 5 years. There's an adjustment to make to account of local affordability, and then it's the amount is actually capped for all authorities, and the figure comes out to 603 dwellings per year. Because we have historically undersupplied, underdelivered in terms of housing builds, we have to add on extra 15%. All local authorities have to add 5% onto that figure for flexibility. We have to add on an extra 15%, which takes us up to 20%. So we have the 603 as the needs set out by government, and then we have an extra amount on top because of the undersupply in the past. But the amount that we've supplied in terms of construction, existing planning permissions, large sites that are in Ashlar, and then a small site estimate is below that. So that's why we have missed a five-year housing land supply. Thank you.
And Ashlar being the strategic hand in housing land availability. So that, unfortunately, is why we're left with the, which Councillor Noble touched on, but because we can't do that, it's tilted balance, as mentioned by Kelly, means that planning permission should be granted unless quotes from the planning document any adverse impacts of doing so would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits when assessed against policies in this framework as a whole, as the National Planning Policy Framework, which is that's where we are. Councillor Geffen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That rather leads me to the conclusion that all developers will be looking to resubmit ever greater applications on all the sites where they've already got planning permission to try and find out what the limit really is.
Yeah. And we had an application, integrated application, very close to town centre, was considered 2 weeks ago, Kelly Walker presented it, which had previously been refused twice before the ex-servicemen club. And they reduced it, and they made it became schemes acceptable. So it doesn't mean to say that we would approve anything. This particular application was refused on design, appearance, and the street scene, and they went back and they amended it to make it more acceptable. And then we had an acceptable outcome of that. So you're absolutely right. It's each case on its merits.
Okay. Thank you for that, Councillor Sider, and then Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I didn't like this when it came to committee a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And it's another example of a developer being extremely greedy, not too worried about the residents, as long as he gets money in his pocket. I went through this application when I got the planning papers with a very, very fine tooth comb, searching for areas where I thought the application could be refused. But every time I came upon, for instance, density, right? And then of course there's a policy which says that because there's local transport, buses within 400 metres, that's okay. So I thought, well, that's no good. So then I looked at the parking, and again, policy CCD3 defeated my observations on that. I went to amenity space, and again, the current policies said everything was okay. So, at the end of the day, I mean, all these objections, unfortunately, of the 30 objections, there are only 5 of them which were good planning grounds, unfortunately. And all the consultees had no objections, with some of them recommended certain conditions.
It's a statutory one.
Yeah. So, of course there's a need for housing. We all know that. Right? The figure of 603 has been paraded throughout the whole of Borough, right, with his local plan. Absolute nonsense as far as I'm concerned, right? And the council's got to have the guts and courage to stand up and be counted on this.
Yeah.
A typical example is Charlton Village. There's 380 dwellings put in there, Right? Like I said, that's your plea of insanity. Anyway, going back to this application, I feel great sympathy for the residents, but at the end of the day, the council's policies say that this application is acceptable. Nothing further to add, Chair.
Well, I mean, you make very good points throughout that, Councillor. This is that which I think is, from the residents' point of view, it's very, what you said, very well said, that we have to make decisions based on the local plan, national plan, policy framework, and planning law. That's why we're here in a quasi-legal committee. And the decisions we make don't necessarily always go with what residents would like. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't go with what developers like, but we have to be guided by the planning legislation, which is, it is difficult, but that's our role. But as you say, Councillor, going through the application papers with a fine-tooth comb is what we as committee members are expected to do. Councillor Bryan.
Thank you. I like the design. A lot of things were covered as well, which were required. My concern would be, we only have 4 electric points for the cars. For future, is it possible to have more, like, you know, maybe wiring done, etc., for future needs?
I mean, that's something I was thinking of myself. I don't know if there's a minimum we can insist on, or maximum we can insist on, but and also can we put in there that cabling is put in to enable further charging points to be put in if necessary?
Because as we go in carbon zero in future, it would be, could be a good point. Thank you.
The county guidance says 20% for you, Chairman, answering to Councillor Barr. The county guidance suggests or recommends 20% of all parking spaces for flats to be EV charging points, electrical vehicle charging points. So we've got 4 out of 18, so that's just slightly more than 20%. But we could add an informative on asking the, did that at the last committee, asking the developer to consider putting cabling in underground while they're building out the scheme for tall parking spaces for future use.
Yes, I think that maybe
we
need more.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is quite correct. Well, we're left with, once again, it's a policy thing that this would comply with the 20% what's in the papers, but you raise a very good point. And so what we can then do is put an informative in for the developer to put in electrical cabling for the rest of the parking spaces.
Thank you.
I notice Mr. Phillips scribbling, so if you could take that back, please, we'll put it on the form to, if this is approved. Thank you. Councillor Nicholls.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly don't think this is a good or quality development. I have a number of points I wish to raise. I'm going to start with my favourite one because I enjoy it, renewable energy. I'm sure we've all read closely the renewable energy document, and I would love to hear someone explain how that actually works mathematically, because quite frankly it doesn't. Apparently it says, just for summary, that you can, it's going to cost £3,000 a year in energy to generate the heat. Okay. Normally you would expect that the cost of energy generated by the source heat pumps uses between 2 and 3 times more energy generate what's coming out, then would be required by a conventional means of heating. So apparently you could heat all the hot water and air in this building for somewhere between £1,000 and £1,500 a year. You have got to be joking. It's not right. I mean, every time we're getting these energy assessments, they simply don't correspond with reality. Some of them aren't even renewable energy, but this one actually is. The other points I'd like to make, so this density is now 148. What is the limit? You know, this is way over the policy, and I don't see why we should be accepting it. What we've done is we've just, as Councillor Sider points out, we've squeezed in on the floor space, just. And we've squeezed in on the amenity space and squeezed in on the parking, and we say, yeah, that's all right, all for four more units. Interestingly enough, he did manage to squeeze 15 in, because you know why? He'd had to do something affordable there. But I will not sink to describing anyone as greedy. The size of these flats is unbelievably small, and I would like to raise the question of the roof. An average-sized woman will not be able to see out of the window. The 150 centimetres high, it's about the eye line of an average-sized UK woman. The only window in one of the flats in the roof, which isn't like that, is obscured glass. This put me in mind of the bard Oscar Wilde. I never saw a man who looked with such a wistful eye upon that little tent of blue which prisoners call the sky. I believe that this is bad design, and I believe it is overdense. We have policy on those two things, and I think we should be considering refusal.
Thank you. I'm sure the officers want to come back. Well, there's one with density issue. Density is something which I'm not sure it's even going to be in the next open plan, because the if you've got, not necessarily this one, but very high-rise buildings, your density goes through the roof, and that's a major issue. But our policy currently is 75 dwellings per hectare, I think, in terms of what can be greater, dot, as other stuff added on. But, Kelly?
In terms of the second floor accommodation, that is the same as the previously approved scheme in terms of the outlook to the roof lights. So that was the only provision for outlook to those dwellings in the roof space previously. This is the same as that previously approved, so that's obviously a material consideration. Those areas, or those flats on the second floor, do also meet the internal minimum floor space requirements.
Yeah. Would you like to say anything about the energy?
The report makes clear that we consulted with our renewable energy officer at the council, but we have added a condition on condition 18 on page 35, requiring that the full details to be submitted and to show the 10% of that requirements are met, so that is covered by condition. Thank you, Chair.
I hope that helps. Members will be aware from the training sessions that we've had recently that if they do want to vote against the recommendation for approval, they do have to ensure they've got good grounds for refusal in their minds, and these can be put forward at whilst we're debating at the moment, so that whether or not they are going to be policy compliant or not can be expressed, but can be explained by the officers, and then that's what, why members should raise any issues which they think might be reasons for refusal, so the officers have a chance to explain why, where we are on that. Okay, Councillor Bruton.
Thank you, Chair. I have listened to my colleagues and the officers, and I have previously raised this point that we shouldn't be building on the green belt. And I also said that if we're not going to build on the green belt, we have to probably go upwards. I see this is just 4 units more than previously been approved, but how much impact that would have all the land issues that we have to consider. And I have seen that the a residence, but their concerns, most of them, are not within the planning consideration that we have to make. And I think at the end of the day, we have to
look at what we got in the borough and how we got to not deliver. I totally don't agree with what the figures we have to talk about, but I think we got to make some decisions where we have to look at what we got and what viability is there and what we can build. Now this is, again, would the area where this building is going to go, it would generate a little bit, it looks a part of the design that we consider. And I think overall, I am satisfied that this is not something that we should refuse. And obviously I am a bit open-minded, but I have come to conclude now by looking at all the facts that I think we should be, if we are refusing on the grounds just because there are four extra units, or we're looking at the concerns which are not related to the planning, then I think we are open to, or we are scrutiny. So I am happy that, not happy, that I'm comfortable that I think we should approve.
Thank you. I mean, this just for the benefit of members and the public, if there are any covenants on land, or there's the Party Wall Act, or there's building control issues, all those sorts of things are not planning issues, but they do have to be taken account of by the developer before he can develop. There are all things which are points which have to be taken account of, but the planning committee doesn't take account of those, and we can approve dwellings in places where the developer can't even access them, and then he's got to go and try and find a way of accessing them. So it's we are in an odd position like that. So some things we can improve will never get built because the developer won't be able to get access or can't comply with other restrictions. But we deal with, as Councillor Boutard was saying, we have to deal with the planning issues. Right, so I've got no other councillors willing to speak. So I think all the issues that members have to take into consideration have been raised and gone through. So we now have to move to the vote. The motion was to approve. So all those in favour of the motion, please show. Six. Those against? Four.
Can you do that again, please?
All right, 5. Okay. Those against, 5. So application number 19/01297/FUL, Headline House, Stanwell Road, Ashford, is approved. Item 5, application number 19/01676/FUL, which is the Fordbridge Centre, 91 Clarendon Road, Ashford. This proposal involves the erection of a single-storey front extension to existing building and remodelling of the entrance lobby. Mr. Clapper, would you run through the plans for us, please?
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chair.
As the chairman just suggested, it's an application for the Fordbridge Centre, which is a council-run community facility located in Ashford on the corner of Clarendon Road and Fordbridge Road. It's in close proximity to the town centre, as you can see, which is basically here. That's the multi-storey car park, as well as Cooper's College site and what have you, and various retail areas here. Here is mainly residential. Just to give you a picture of the site from the aerial photo. Here is the listed, Grade 2 listed, St. Michael's Roman Catholic Church. Here's the centre itself. And the extension is to be placed in the front of the facility here. The access to the site in its entirety is actually through this area here on the access road.
Pause for a second.
Sorry.
So just adjourn for a second so that we can work out what is happening next with our visitors.
Thank you very much.
So nice.
Would you like me to go back to the start?
Yeah, if you could, please.
That's right.
So I know you've got the government there. I just want to make sure that our members are concentrating on the planning issues.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you could start with the beginning, please.
Yes, okay.